tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 12th of May, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today we're going to take a look at the migrant situation in Europe as a whole, and also some of the things that are happening with that in Britain. And the first article I have comes from GB News, and it's entitled "More than half a million migrants massing in North Africa, ready to cross into Europe." And I think there's actually a lot more migrants in North Africa. I think it's closer to a million. It's just that there's only half a million of them, they think, are waiting to cross into Europe. The alarm has been raised by Greece, which has told the would-be migrants that they are not welcome. Well, of course, that's going to stop them coming, isn't it, if they say they're not welcome? More than half a million illegal migrants have massed in North Africa, ready to flood into Europe, the Greek government has warned. The country's migration minister, Thanos Poliveris, sounded the alarm this week, revealing that Greek authorities believe around 550,000 migrants are in Libya alone, awaiting the opportunity to break into the continent. So that's just in Libya. I think we did a podcast a few weeks back, maybe a couple of months back, really, looking at Libya, where the UN was saying that there was around a million there waiting in Libya that we're hoping to find somewhere. Perhaps it's only half of them that we're trying to get to Europe. Where the other half are going to go to, I don't know. You know, we wouldn't have any of this problem if we hadn't artificially interfered with the development of these African peoples. Around 150 years ago, they only made up around 200 million. That's all there was on the whole continent of Africa, 200 million. Since we've given them medication and food and aid, they now make up to 1.5 billion people on the continent of Africa. And of course they need somewhere to go, don't they? Because they can't provide for themselves. They can't provide enough food for themselves. They have to subsist upon aid that they get from Europe. And of course the charities and the good-natured among our white nations, our white people, who are always very charitable, we have charitable hearts. We look at that and we say, well, something needs to be done about this. We need to find somewhere for them. Why don't we replace the white children that aren't being born to white people anymore? If we'll just bring these people into Europe, and then they'll get fed, they won't starve, and they can solve our problem by filling these positions that the white people aren't going to be able to fill because we're not producing any children. Of course, if it all worked like that, that wouldn't be a problem, would there? But the Africans are a completely different race to the Europeans. They have a completely different average IQ, they have a completely different culture, they have a completely different way of doing things. They never even built a civilization. And if you look at what Africa looks like, that's what Europe is going to end up looking like. The more we import Africans into Europe, the more Europe is going to look like Africa. That's the problem. We're not interchangeable. You can't just change a white man for a black man and expect to get the same results. Some people might believe that. They might believe in this idea that everybody is a blank slate. But that is not backed up by the scientific evidence, is it? Things like IQ are inherited. They're inherited from your parents, and from the wider scale, they're inherited from the ethnic group that you come from. And if you have a much lower IQ, such as the black Africans have, about 70 average, which is 30 points lower than the average of white IQ, which is 100. It means if you start importing these people into Europe, sooner or later, lots of problems are going to occur. And of course, lots of problems are occurring. And nationalists have been talking about this for decades. Now we have mainstream news organisations such as GB News talking about this, although perhaps they're not talking about the IQ part of it yet. They are talking about the problems that occur with mass migration. Getting back to the article here, Mr. Pleaveris said his country was working alongside Libya and the EU's Frontex border force to prevent the boats from setting sail across the Mediterranean. Well, that's interesting. Which government is he talking to in Libya then? Because since we destroyed the country and murdered its sovereign leader, Colonel Gaddafi, they now have two governments that claim that they are the government of Libya. I think you have one in Benghazi and one in Tobruk. Each one claims to actually be the government of Libya. So I'm not quite sure which government it is that the Greeks have been speaking to. The Greek migration minister told Greek media outlet Voria, those who are not entitled to asylum will be detained. Now, when it is likely that someone will not get asylum, they are not placed in a freedom status, but in a detention status, so that with the rejection of asylum, they can be returned. And this is what should be happening in Britain. We should not be putting them up in hotels. They've broken into the country illegally. That means they should not get any asylum. And it means that they should be put in a prison until they can be returned to the country whence they came. If we're not able to identify which country that they came from, then we need to have a deal with a country in Africa that we can just send them back there, which is originally, most of the time, is where they came from in the first place. And that would be of benefit to the African country because they would be getting money, they'd be paid for this, and it would be of benefit to the people claiming asylum because they would be in a different country that Britain had a deal with to show that the country was safe, and they would no longer be at war, they would no longer be at risk of being persecuted by the politics or the laws of the country that they came from because they'd be in a country in Africa that was designated a safe country. That seems to me to be the sensible solution to this problem. The minister declared there is no reason for Greece to open its borders and accept people, adding that the country will operate within the legal framework, but will also reach its limits in order to protect the borders. Since 2015, Greece has been a major gateway for over 1.2 million illegal migrants flooding into Europe, with many going on to make their way into Britain. That's an incredible number, that 1.2 million. I mean, it was said that a million went into Germany, I think, just in 2015, when Angela Merkel said, we can do this. And she effectively invited all of Syria to come and live in Germany, with all the problems that that brought. And Greece's Prime Minister, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, has implemented a host of policies in recent years aimed at tackling the country's migrant crisis. Athens erected a 25-mile wall along its coastline to block migrants flooding in from Turkey. And I think the bigger problem in Greece is them coming from Turkey rather than them coming from Libya. I mean, there might well be 500,000 trying to make their way in through Turkey and 500,000 trying to make their way in through Spain coming across the water from Africa. The Greek government has made it a specific criminal offence to enter the country illegally, with penalties of up to 2 years in prison and a fine of up to €10,000. I imagine if we were to do that in Britain, it would mean these boats that the RNLI and the Coast Guard are bringing in to the country, instead of taking the people and putting them in a hotel, they'd be taking them off in handcuffs and putting them straight in a prison and told, you're going to stay here for 2 years and then we will release you back to the country that you came from. I think the problem with illegal immigration would probably just end overnight. The law also applies to migrants who have overstayed their visas or refuse to leave Greece once their asylum claims are rejected. Once applications are turned down, migrants can be ankle monitored and are given 2 weeks to leave the country or face up to 5 years in prison. Again, that's a good idea, so long as you can't get this the ankle bracelet off and you can track them. You've got 2 weeks to actually come up with where you have come from or where you wish to be deported to. If you don't tell us, then you're going to spend up to 5 years in prison. After the legislation was implemented last year, Mr. Plevris said, "We are accountable to Greek citizens and Greek citizens want to be protected. The message is clear for migrants. If your asylum request is rejected, you have two choices." And I'll just pause there because this is a problem in Britain. You know, they shouldn't be allowed to make an asylum request if they've broken into the country illegally. You shouldn't have to wait until this asylum request is looked at to see whether you're going to free them amongst the population or whether you're going to put them in prison or deport them. If they've broken into the country, they should be put in prison straight away, I would suggest, not given the chance to make an asylum claim. "Either you go to jail or you return to your homeland. The Greek state does not accept you. You are not welcome." Almost 940,000 prospective migrants are believed to have been living in Libya at the end of 2025, according to the United Nations International Organization for Migration. And that's the figure that I was referring to earlier. So it was closer to 1 million people that were waiting in Libya to invade Europe. The majority live in the cities of Tripoli and Benghazi, with most believed to be from Chad, Egypt, Niger, Nigeria and Sudan. Now, those are all African countries apart from Egypt, although Egypt is a part of the African continent. So would it not make more sense to put African refugees claiming asylum into another African country where they're going to be amongst people very similar to them, who speak a very similar language, who have a very similar culture, rather than allowing them into Europe where everybody looks completely different to them, has a completely different culture and a completely different history? I mean, it seems to make much more sense to me that you would put an African refugee in a country in Africa rather than in Europe. Surely he's going to be more at home amongst his own people. Or are we saying that for some reason his own people are undesirable and he shouldn't be put with his own people, in which case you're effectively saying that he is undesirable? So really, we've got to just say that it's not that these people are undesirable, it's that we want the best for them, and the best for them is always going to be amongst their own people, isn't it? You're always going to be best off amongst your own extended family. The warning from Greece comes as Britain's own crisis hits a damning milestone, with the number of illegal migrants breaking into the country via small boats since 2018 now surpassing 200,000, a quarter of a million. It's probably more like 500,000, because don't forget the ones that that managed to get into the country without being detected. The grim tally was reached on Friday morning after a group of 70 migrants were taken to the Border Force Processing Centre at Dover. The group had been on a dinghy that launched from a beach near Dunkirk just before 7:30 a.m. You know, if they weren't putting them in hotels and they were putting them straight in prison, I think a lot of that would stop. Now, last week, we also had a documentary that was on the BBC, and this was talking about these bogus asylum claims that get made. One of these bogus asylum claims is claiming to be homosexual. And there was a huge investigation into this and a big uproar. And apparently two people have now been arrested. Two people arrested amidst investigation into asylum seekers pretending to be gay to remain in Britain. Home Office immigration enforcement officers have arrested two people in East London following coordinated raids linked to an undercover report that alleged immigration advisers coaching asylum seekers to falsely claim they are gay. Well, how come it's only the two people organising this that have been arrested? What about all the people that were involved, dozens, hundreds, that were just in the footage, claiming that they were gay whilst admitting that actually none of them are gay? The Criminal and Financial Investigations Unit led the operations, which resulted in the arrest of a woman in her late 40s, suspected of unlawfully providing immigration services under Section 91 of the Immigration and Asylum Act. A man in his early 20s was also taken into custody on suspicion of fraud. The arrests come after the BBC released videos showing migrants with expiring visas being taught how to fabricate documentation supporting bogus asylum applications. And I saw I'm sure that there are going to be other scams that they're pulling. They're not just going to be claiming to be homosexual in order to get in. They'll be claiming they're from Syria, or they'll be claiming they're from Afghanistan. This is the reason why they throw their documents away, so that they can then claim to be from whichever country is flavour of the month with the asylum officials. The undercover reporting captured footage at a gathering for LGBT asylum seekers, where multiple migrants admitted to an undercover journalist that the majority of attendees were not genuinely homosexual. I think what they actually said was that nobody there is homosexual. And effectively, these people had set up an LGBT asylum seekers night somewhere at a rented building. And then all the prospective immigrants that they had coached in this to say that they were homosexual on the asylum papers, they then had photographs of them taken at this fake LGBT event. And then that was then given in as evidence of them leading a gay lifestyle. So this is what the scam was. But they were admitting that nobody there was homosexual. And I think from a lot of these countries where these people are coming from, they're really not going to want to admit that they're homosexual. They're really not going to want to be going out to an LGBTQ nightclub event, because they know that they would be seen by members of their community going to this club, and it might make them particularly vulnerable to attack. So I think if there was anybody that was actually genuinely gay coming from one of these countries, the last thing they would be doing is publicly going to a gay night at a nightclub for asylum seekers. I mean, surely they would be thinking, well, what about if there are some asylum seekers there, or people from my community that aren't actually gay, and they're just there to identify the people that are so that they can then go and attack them. So I find it very difficult to believe that anyone claiming asylum who is homosexual would be going to publicly to a place that advertises itself as being for homosexuals. So I think the person in the video that said nobody here is gay, I think they were entirely correct. Reporters documented how individuals facing visa expiration were being guided on obtaining fraudulent supporting materials, including fabricated letters and staged photographs designed to bolster their asylum applications. There was one part in the little documentary, I didn't see the whole documentary, I saw some clips from it. There was one part where the immigration advisor was saying, oh yes, we can get your wife in as well under this as well, we can say that she's lesbian. So you could effectively bring over your wife. I guess you could probably bring children over as well. They could probably say, well, we've got these children are trans kids. Or I guess they wouldn't have to say that, would they? They could just say, once they're given the right to be here, they can just say, well, we need to have our family here. We have a right to a family, don't we? That's a UN human right. The Home Office launched its own inquiry after the investigation was released, leading to the arrests announced today. Only two arrests, mind. Not the hundreds of people that were at this gay night that were all fake asylum seekers. According to a Home Office source, both suspects remain in custody as investigators examine the full extent of the alleged scheme to exploit protections intended for those fleeing persecution based on their sexuality. Well, bear in mind that this documentary was on probably about a month ago, maybe longer than that, and it's only now that they are arresting these people. I would suggest that maybe they've got rid of a lot of the evidence in that time. Immigration Minister Mike Tapp personally joined officers during one of the raids, using the occasion to issue a stark warning to those facilitating fraudulent claims. If lawyers, or so-called lawyers, and legal advisors are out there providing this dodgy advice, we're coming after that, and as you've seen today, we'll make those arrests, he said. Yes, they'll only arrest the absolute bare minimum of the people that are giving the advice, though. They're not going to arrest the people that are making these fake claims, are they? I mean, that's what they've effectively shown these asylum seekers, that if you make a fake claim for asylum, nobody's going to come after you. You won't be arrested. It will just be the person that's giving you this advice. So in actual fact, this is really emboldening them, I would have thought, to show them that they're not actually going to be arrested by the police if they make a fake asylum claim. The minister emphasised that such practices damage the prospects of legitimate refugees seeking sanctuary in Britain. Well, again, I don't think they would really care about that, would they? They don't really care about the legitimate refugees. All they care about is themselves getting into Britain. That's why they're here. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here, would they? If they had any concern at all about the fact that they didn't actually deserve to get asylum, they wouldn't have come here in the first place. Our asylum system is there for people who are genuinely fleeing persecution and war, and I'm really proud of that. And I would have to say that anybody that comes all the way across Europe to Britain from one of these other countries, they're not genuinely fleeing persecution, are they? The persecution isn't coming that far. I mean, all they've really got to do is go to the country next door and they would get away from the persecution in their own country or get away from the war in their own country. They're clearly not doing that. They're economic migrants. They are coming to Britain because Britain is a favoured country for them, for whatever reason. I mean, some of them, it might be they have family here. Some of them, it might be because they already speak English. A large number of them, I think, is because of the money that they can get here. But all of these are not good enough reasons to be allowed into the country. It's supposed to be if you are fleeing persecution and war. There's only a limited number of countries that are at war. And I was reading something earlier and it was saying that we can't now deport these illegal immigrants. We can't deport them back to their own countries if the medical system there isn't up to the same standards as the NHS, which means that we've got to keep them here because it's going to be very hard for a third world country to come up to the same standards as a Western country with a healthcare system. So we're making it even more difficult for ourselves to even deport them. We're literally holding up impossible aims for these third world countries before we can deport their people back to them. Mr. Tapp added, people that are trying to abuse the system will not be accepted. And again, that's not what we're seeing here, though, is it? We're seeing that the people that are abusing the system are being accepted because they're not being arrested. The only people that are not being accepted are the two immigration advisors that were giving them this advice. People that are trying to abuse it will not be accepted, Mr. Tapp added. Opposition parties swiftly criticised the government's response as inadequate. Conservative Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp dismissed the operation, stating a handful of arrests changes nothing, while the underlying incentive remains intact. Now, what government was it that was in place when they put this policy in place, saying that somebody can claim that they're homosexual and that is a good enough reason for them to be allowed into the country? Oh, yes, it was Chris Philp's government, the Conservative government, that did that. He argued the Tories would tackle the problem by prohibiting asylum applications from those arriving illegally. And that's what I've been saying. Withdrawing from the European Convention on Human Rights and removing unlawful arrivals within 7 days. Yes, well, where are you going to remove them to within 7 days? You need to set up somewhere in Africa. And the problem is, when they tried to set up Rwanda, they talked about it being a deterrent. And we're going to set up this country in Africa where we can deport illegal immigrants to, and that will serve as a deterrent, as if going to Rwanda was a bad thing. Whereas it wasn't a bad thing. If they went to Rwanda, they would have had healthcare, they would have had help, they would have got business grants to set up businesses, they would have had housing, they would have been amongst people that are very close to their own ethnicity, they would have understood the language, they would have understood the culture. And if they'd sold it like that, then it might have worked and you wouldn't have had the Labour Party putting a stop to it. But because they were promoting it as, this is a way to harm the illegal immigrants, this is a way to deter them from going there because it will be horrible for them, well, obviously white people that are charitable and caring people aren't going to accept sending these people to a place that's going to be horrible to them, are we? Because there might be a tiny minority of them that are genuinely fleeing war and persecution. And because there's that tiny minority of them, we wouldn't want them treated horribly, would we? I mean, and that's the way that a lot of our people think. So the fact that the Conservative Party didn't do that and pretended that it was going to be horrible for them, I think they shot themselves in the foot with that policy in the first place. They should have been talking about what a great advantage this would have been for African refugees to be going to Rwanda. And if Chris Philp is saying here, we're going to remove unlawful arrivals within 7 days, well, where are you going to remove them to? That's the question that needs to be asked. Liberal Democrat immigration spokesperson Will Forster called for a system that is fair, controlled and efficient. And he means fair, controlled and efficient for bringing in the maximum number of immigrants, because the Liberal Democrats are very, very pro-migration. Green Party leader Zach Polanski has previously blamed inconsistent policies for creating conditions where such fraudulent operations flourish. I think he would like to see no borders at all. I think that's Zach Polanski's position. Reform UK's Zia Youssef said Labour can claim no credit for clamping down on lawyers aiding false asylum claims when they failed to act themselves. Millions have entered this country illegally and must be deported. And that's an interesting phrase, because one of Rupert Lowe's catchphrases is millions must go. And I think that that must have sent shivers running down the back of Reform, because they're now copying this. Then Zia Youssef is saying millions have entered illegally and must be deported. So he's echoing the same language that Rupert Lowe is using. So clearly they are fearful that Rupert Lowe is going to take a large portion of the people that were voting for them. Talking about Reform, I have another news story here. Again, which talks about immigration, but the main subject of the story is something else. Nigel Farage effigy stabbed, strangled and mock executed in disturbing video. What do you think would happen if Mark Collette was to make a video of an effigy of David Lammy and stab, strangle and mock execute it? Well, I know of people that have been sent to jail for years simply for hanging a gollywog on stage, let alone executing an effigy of a black person. But apparently if you have an effigy of a white person and it's Nigel Farage, then it's perfectly fine to stab, strangle and mock execute it. An effigy of Reform UK leader Nigel Farage has been stabbed, strangled and mock executed in a disturbing video on social media. The video captures a masked person stabbing the effigy with a knife, first in the face before slashing at the torso. The masked person then moves to use a grater on the groin area before strangling the mannequin. The effigy is then strung from a tree and repeatedly punched and kicked. I don't think you could really get a more obvious incitement to hate there, but that's not what is being said about this. Now, if a left-wing person is listening to this, or one of my detractors, they might say, ah, yes, Sven, but didn't you have an image of Theresa May being hanged on Radio Aryan some years ago? Well, that was a cartoon. Execution is carried out by the state. It wasn't being carried out by a member of the public. And it was also clearly marked that she was being hanged for treason, because of her treason in going against the Brexit vote. We weren't advocating for Theresa May to be hanged. It was a humorous cartoon. But what we have here is an actual violent attack against an effigy of Nigel Farage, which I would argue is completely different. I mean, at the time when we had that cartoon, we have a fireworks display, a bonfire night in the town of Lewes, which is in the south of England. And they have these huge effigies that they have in a big carnival. And one of the effigies that year was Boris Johnson holding the decapitated head of Theresa May in his hand. And that was seen as cartoon humour. It wasn't somebody violently attacking an effigy of Theresa May. It was like a humorous effigy. Again, that's different from what we have here, which is filming a violent attack against a simulated version of Nigel Farage. The account that posted the videos does not appear to be accessible at the time of writing. Mr. Farage has not responded to the footage as he gears up for local elections commencing on Thursday. Obviously, this article comes from last Wednesday. The Reform leader was seen earlier today in St. Helens as he made the final stop on his election campaign. In an exclusive interview, Mr. Farah said that stopping illegal migrant boat crossings was vital for several reasons. These were to make women and girls safer in Britain, two, as a matter of national security, three, as something costing billions of pounds a year. But number four is even bigger than the first three, re-establishing trust between voters and government. Well, I don't think you can say that re-establishing trust between voters and government is more important than protecting women and girls from being raped. However, if they were to put a stop to the illegal immigration, and that would help to re-establishing some trust between the voters and the government, and that is important because people have lost trust in the government. That's why people voted against Labour in this last chance that they had last Thursday. If you talk to people, nobody believes the government anymore, the same as they don't believe the BBC anymore. We've been lied to too many times. If you think about it, the amount of times that the British public have been told by politicians that they're going to get a grip on migration, it's just, you can't even count them. I can remember when David Cameron said he was going to get migration down to under 10,000 people. And then they said, oh, he meant tens of thousands. Oh, and that's just an idea. And then you get to Boris Johnson and you've got a gross figure of 1 million migrants coming into the country. Well, how do we get from vote for us and we'll get it under 10,000 people to Boris Johnson allowing in 1 million migrants? I'm no good at maths, but isn't that 1,000 times the 10,000 figure that we were told? Perhaps it's even more than that. But we've been lied to so many times, people just don't trust the government anymore, and you can't blame them for that at all. Nigel Farage added, the last six prime ministers have said publicly on camera and to you, if you come here illegally, you won't be allowed to stay. But the truth is they are. And of course, he's just talking about illegal migration here. It's legal migration that is more of a problem because it's so many more people, 1 million people under Boris Johnson. That's quite a big difference between just the 40,000 that come in illegally. Okay, it might be the illegal ones that are more likely to rape and murder the indigenous population. And that, again, is a big problem. But the fact that you've got so many more people coming in, a huge wave of people in legal migration, that's also a problem. Both of these problems need to be dealt with. We need to prevent the rape and murder of the indigenous population, and we also need to prevent the replacement of the indigenous population by the legal migrants. And the legal migrants themselves are also responsible for a large amount of crime. And when those statistics were released, showing that Afghans and Eritreans were over 20 times more likely to be arrested for sexual assault, it didn't say illegal Eritreans or illegal Afghans, it just said Afghans and Eritreans. So it was including the illegal as well as the legal. If Reform were to win the next general election, that is the thing we would have to solve in 3 months. Now, I would suggest that again is a lie, because I don't think they can solve this problem in 3 months. I think Nigel Farage there is being overly optimistic. Mr. Farage said the UK would have to be outside the European Convention on Human Rights for this to happen, adding, we are going to have to crack on. Of course, that Convention on Human Rights, that was put in place after the war when we had white refugees from various countries, and that's what it was talking about. It wasn't talking about people from completely different races coming from Africa. I don't think it was ever envisioned that it would be used for that purpose. It was supposed to be a failsafe for in case there was another war within Europe. And if you had a war in Europe, then you might need to flee to the country next door in Europe, not flee all the way over the other side of the world, like some of these illegal migrants have done. He said he had hammered out terms over lunch with French politician Jordan Bardella, president of the right-wing National Rally since 2022, who he said was odds-on favourite to be the next premier in France. So that's interesting. I hope he is. But the National Rally, they always get into the last round of elections. And then what happens is all the left-wing parties make a coalition so that they can't actually be voted in, so that they frustrate the will of the people. And it's also interesting that Nigel Farage is talking to the National Rally, because it wasn't that long ago that he refused to have anything to do with Marine Le Pen's party. He refused to even be in the European Union group that she set up, the Alliance of Civic Nationalist Parties. And UKIP refused to be a part of it. He said, I have sat with Jordan Bardella, who is odds-on favourite to be the next premier in France. I took him for lunch in London. It was one of those lunches, the best French wines and some good food. The French, you got to look after them. And then sort of as Pudding approached, I said, well, I am very sorry, Jordan, but we've given you 800 million quid already. And this is before the next 660 million quid that's been promised. I'm really sorry. Unless you stop this, I'm going to get the Royal Marines to tow the boats back to France. Well, that will never happen, because the French have said we cannot allow the British Navy into French waters. That's the reason why they're not towed back. He said, so if they can't come to Britain, they won't go to Calais. So actually, this could work. I've also had very positive feedback from Afghanistan. Not necessarily my favourite government. And I would say that's a good idea, sending them back to Afghanistan. But the problem is, the British judges say, well, you can't send them back to Afghanistan, because, especially not if they carried out sex crimes, because they'll be hanged for them in Afghanistan. This is the reason why these grooming gang rapists are very, very unlikely to be deported, because their lawyers will just say, oh, yes, but if you send them back to Pakistan or Afghanistan, they'll be hanged for their crimes. And you're supposed to be against the death penalty. That's the excuse that is used. So whenever you read, oh, this person that's carried out a sex crime will be deported, be very, very suspicious of that. I'm not aware that any of them have been deported. And the reason for that is because they could be hanged for being a rapist back in their home countries. Isn't that interesting? They would be hanged for it in their own countries. And we don't have such a big problem in their own countries of these sorts of things happening. I wonder if there's a correlation between the two. Nigel Farage continued, the Germans are sending back plane loads every week to Afghanistan, and they have said they would talk to me about taking people back. I've achieved more outside government in terms of agreements with other national governments than Starmer did, than Boris did, than Truss did, than Rishi did. Well, I hope that's true, Nigel, and if you do get into power, then I hope you put a stop to this, but we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.